Well, I planned this trip. You know, obviously I'm a football fan and I support Sunderland, and there's a strong connection with Cork and Sunderland now because one of the sons of Cork, Roy Keane, is the manager of Sunderland, and Sunderland Football Club actually playing Cork and Galway and another club next week. So I just thought I would kind of, you know, theme this evening, you know, with some football poetry. I don't quite know how to play it because not necessarily everybody likes football, so I'll just play it by ear, and I might, you know, do some of my own stuff that's got nothing to do with football, but we'll just see how the mood takes it. But what I can say about football poems is that, I mean, the metaphor is in their own right, you know. I mean, that's the first thing I started, how I got into poetry, because I think football poetry is about strong emotions, you know. You're either suicidal or you're jumping over the moon, you know. And I mean, that applies to a lot of, you know, that applies to poetry, so it's a great platform for poetry. Anyway, I've rabbited on a bit too much, so I'll dip straight into a poem and not try and talk the poems away. This is a poem about the new stadium in Sunderland, and it came about because of, you know, Hillsborough and Heysel, and in the 80s there was a big revamp of stadiums to make them safe because people were being killed in fires or vandalism. And this stadium in Sunderland is really, we're very proud of it. It's a fantastic venue, and thankfully the chairman had a bit of creativity, and in his wisdom he called it the Stadium of Light. And our biggest rivals, 10 mile up the road, is Newcastle, and they call it something else, and it begins with an S. It's called North Star. And ships were born with shooting stars from the welder's gun. Then light faded into darkness across the playing fields of Walker. Old men cheered the football could as sound waves echoed across the city, finding a new pitch. Through the changing seasons of light, this investment nirvana gleams in a citadel of colour. Now these northern lights are all red and white, and ships were born with shooting stars from the welder's gun. The next poem is, you know, I'm quite proud of my Sunderland shirt and wear it with pride and I hang on to it. It's called 11 Ways to Avoid Lending Your Sunderland Shirt to Anybody. 1. Warrior. May I borrow your Sunderland shirt? Bookmate. I didn't lay down my life at Trafalgar, Balaclava, 2 World Wars, so you could borrow my Sunderland shirt. 2. Self-importance. May I borrow your Sunderland shirt? Unfortunately, Robert Kilroy's silk is wearing it. 3. Egomaniac. May I borrow your Sunderland shirt? You are not worthy. 4. Suffering. May I borrow your Sunderland shirt? Look, mate, I didn't sit through 123 relegations so you could borrow my Sunderland shirt. Come on. 5. Hopeless. May I borrow your Sunderland shirt? I am dying of mad cow disease, and all you talk about is my Sunderland shirt. 6. Evasive. May I borrow your Sunderland shirt?
Do you think I'm made of Sunderland shirts? 7, forgetful. Marlborough, your Sunderland shirt. I left it hanging from the third tier of the Estadio de Luz. 8, kinky. Marlborough, your Sunderland shirt. Only if I can fuck a footballer's wife in it. 9, obsession. Marlborough, your Sunderland shirt. It already has my name on the back. And I'm not prepared to change it from Keno. 10, justice. Marlborough, your Sunderland shirt. Only if I can score the winner in the last minute of extra time against Newcastle United. That'll be handy. Die happy man. You know. 11, imposter. Sorry, confused. May I borrow your Sunderland shirt? What's a Sunderland shirt? This is a dedication to the big man, Niall Quinn. Played for Arsenal, Manchester City, Sunderland, and now he's the chairman, and he's brought Keno to Sunderland. And this is a true story, actually, because when Niall first came to Sunderland, he had a stinker, you know. We thought, Jesus, what a donkey. But he soon, you know, got a partnership going with wee Kevin Phillips. And there's an Irish guy sitting next to me coming over to watch the game. And you know when you're sitting next to a know-it-all and, you know, this guy's brilliant or he's hopeless and, you know, he can't do anything right. Well, this is this guy. Watching Niall. I was screaming in a pseudo-Irish brogue, "Get it to your man! Get it to your man! Get it, man, and do the business!" The Biggins lost some pace since those hurling days and his time with Jack and the boys, said an expat, Rick from County Mayo, sitting beside me. But I'm still screaming, "Go on now, go on now, go on now, get it in your man, get it in your man, go on now, get stuck in there." His feet have touched the blarney. He's on a marathon canter, a real steeple chaser, just like Danny Boy, odds on to score. He's a Celtic goldsmith with a hallmark roll onto the chest. He loops a volley into the net. Sweet. A warm red and white glow inside of me. I turn to the man from County Mayo, who reassesses his words carefully. I just like to take a slight detour and read a few poems from an anthology I put together called Versus United. Just to give you a flavour of, you know, how I got into football poetry and you know, what's kind of, well, you know, that process of writing poetry and how it's first started. This poem is called Cream of the Scum, and it's by an Northeast writer called Tom Pickard. And he's a Newcastle fan, but I'll forgive him tonight. But it's great how he uses the Geordie dialect to great effect and rhythm to talk about the terraces. It's for me. It's in the net. Not quite, pet. Hero pudding, you stupid get. It's off his heed. It's in, it's not. He lacks speed. What a farce. Next time, just use your arse. It slipped off his boot like a greased rat of a drainpipe. Hero gutter snipe, cream of the scum. With a heed like that, man, you should be hung. Lovers, lovers, football brothers, rejects, dejects, clowns and crackers. Put them one in the knackers. He's on the floor. Not anymore. Give him a crack. Give him a crack. Lob it. Stop it. Put the block on it. Watch your teeth. His elbow's lethal. He's trying. He's tripped. He's flying. Did you see him shift? I'll buy him. Lovers, lovers, football brothers, rejects, dejects, clowns and crackers, boot 'em one in the knackers. And one more from the collection, quite poignant. It's called Home Game. He just weren't in the same league. She was into First Division Fatigue, champion for the second season up, while he got knocked out in the preliminary bouts of the sweet FA Cup. Funny game, love. Two players, no referee. Few rules to speak of. The match usually a draw or decided by a penalty. And nobody knows the score. You see, what he wanted was a world-class striker. All she needed was for him to like her. I've just started getting to that Japanese poetry, you know, where the wee poetry, two or three lines, 15 syllables and all that, haiku. I mean, the purists stick to certain rules, don't they? But I've just kind of made my own rules, and I've roughly got three lines, you know, but a very poetic license. I haven't counted the syllables and all that. So I just thought I'd have a go at haiku footy. Course before the net, goalkeeper's harvest. Over a co-op six-pack, drunks argue, Celtic and Rangers. Victories in still life, Lowry-esque football landscapes. Winter thaw, badly drawn, 18-yard box. Praying, power cut, escape defeat. Mission impossible, Arbroath. Referee, linesman, Hitler. Windmills, waving rattles in the air. Best dribbler, best drinker, best at everything. Invisible, scoring on the radio, lasting. If you don't mind, I'll dip into some of my poems, and then I've still got time to go back to the football and round off with the football. I was a child of the 60s, and my parents are great, you know, very free living people, very just let me do what I wanted to do, basically. And, you know, that hippies Californian thing, hey man, you dig. I've put it into a poem. And you've got to try and work out, you know, what the poem is. They're only small poems, but it'll become obvious. You dig. Where the Beach Boys were inspired and movies were born. California. I dig it, man. They share the same name as an English county. They can lick you to death. Staffordshire Bull Terriers. I dig that hound. He can get up your nose if you commit a crime. He always says, just one more thing. Columbo. I dig his style. We wouldn't be here without it. Even flies do it. Sex. I dig that stuff. The Scots invented it. My dodgy territory here. Glaswegians will kill for it. Whiskey. I dig that stuff. You can hang a picture or make a morph with it. Blue tack. I dig that stuff. You could eat it in Buda, or across the river in Pesh. Hungarian goulash. I actually eat that stuff. So once a rally, put them in his suitcase. I grow them on my allotment. Potatoes. I dig that stuff. The next poem is a dedication. It's called Notes to a Fly. And this particular fly has been hounding me all summer. And he's still on the scullery in the kitchen back home. So I call him Orlando. It goes something like this. There is a house fly named Orlando. And he will never die. He has been granted immortality. But lately, his spirits have been low. He has seen too many friends die. And his heart is heavy. He's been around for about 20 years. And in that time, he has lost 700 or so fly friends. Niels, Bjorn, Tracy, and Dan Harrod, all gone. He has to spend more time alone. He would have preferred a stretch inside Sing Sing with fellow inmate flies for company. Over the years, he has found a light bulb or a jam sandwich. He was never typecast. He was never the fly in the suit. He is tired of watching his back and avoiding the newspapers rolled up into batons. He is tired of life, of death, and just about everything. Next time, he will consider euthanasia and fly kamikaze style into the mouth of the staffy next door. Orlando, no more. I actually miss him when I... when I get in with a thick newspaper, I'll actually miss him when I get back. Next poem is called Elvis in the Community. And on countless Saturday nights, more than I can care to remember, I've kind of witnessed this where I live. Little interesting fact for you. It's actually, I looked this up, I've verified it. It's actually illegal to mow the lawn dressed as Elvis dressed in Switzerland. If you're dressed as Elvis in Switzerland, you can't mow the lawn. Honestly, I must verify that, but I'm sure it's right. Anyway, I'm going off on tangents, the poem. Elvis in the Community. Are you lonesome tonight? Barry is married to Beverly. They met at the local disco and honeymooned in Magaluf. He always reads the Sun and cleans the car on a Sunday. He drives to B&Q like a maniac. He's more competitive than Schumacher. He meets the lads on a Friday night, and she meets the lasses. Every Saturday night, they say nout to each other. Are you lonesome tonight? Barry has a hobby. He is borderline fanatic. His room is filled with records and books and memorabilia of the king. He remortgaged the house to visit Graceland. He spent the no-win, no-fee whiplash compensation on a cosmetic pursed lip. The paunch around his waist came naturally. And now he talks with a Geordie Tennessee drawl. On karaoke nights, he howls like a hound dog, thinks he has vocal style. He christened his firstborn Aaron Elvis Barry Carter. The vicar had a turned-up dog collar and sideburns as thick as the Black Forest. Barry's got a tattoo. It runs the length of his back. There is a dedication to Presley, but the ink ran out for Beverly. Are you lonesome tonight?
Well done, Tommy. Can everybody hear at the back? Yeah. And now for something kind of completely different in style, I suppose, and not performance orientated, but it's dedicated to my uncle. And I come from a family of Durham miners and shipyard workers. And he was a very shy man, very quiet man. And he used to paint cows. That's all he used to paint, cows. And as a bairn, as a small lad, I used to go to his house, and every room was filled with cows. This is where he did my spare time. Cows. Framed cows stood in moonlit meadows above the fireplace, in the parlour's stillness, mulling over time between moons, just chewing the cud in deep thought before bedtime. Over the countryside, an inky wash of a watercolour sky, and coming from the brush strokes, the smell of cows. Some poets would think it de rigueur to see the darkness, but my Uncle Abe, a quiet Edwardian who painted cows, saw the moonlight, his doe-eyed solitude, creating Frisians and Jerseys in the bright evening. To this day, I hold his golden watch, awarded for outstanding art at the 1920 Royal Darlington Show. And all this time, waits for the cows to come home. I'm getting a signal from the man at the back. How long is it?
We've got about 3 minutes.
3 minutes. Maybe you could squeeze two in, or?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good. Right,
I'll squeeze two more in, and then we can all entertain each other. Quite recently, the American toy company Mattel decided to shelve Ken, Barbie's boyfriend. You know, and it's kind of a metaphor, isn't it? You know, we are the weaker sex. We've lost it, guys. You know, Barbie. Oh, by the way, Chris Waddle was a player for England who was good at missing penalties, and he had a mullet haircut in the 70s. Just thought you better know that. And Chris. Barbie. I'm a Barbie girl in a Barbie world. Life in plastic. It's fantastic. The toy maker Mattel are giving Barbie's boyfriend a makeover. But does she really want you back, Ken? These days, Barbie is a symbol of postmodernist feminism. She is independent, both financially and emotionally. She's reading Bridget Jones. She doesn't want a man, that's too much trouble. More women are living alone and enjoying it. She's not married, not bothered. Barbie doesn't need you, Ken. Unless you can get your act together. If you can stop acting like a 23-year-old for 45 years, and spending less time in the bathroom. You're too green, Ken, a tad too gay. You're more than enough, Ken. And another thing, Ken, that bleach blonde Aussie surfer look and overgroomed David Beckham, Pierce Brosnan types with nothing much to say are so passé. Even Chris Waddle isn't looking like Chris Waddle anymore. So you see, Ken, I'm a Barbie girl in a Barbie world. Life in plastic. It's fantastic. I can hear Aqua sing it there. Bruce, that's it. I better finish up with this one. Thanks for having me. It's It's Grisby in Cork, in Ireland. A little bit of a rap here. It's called A Goal Is A Goal. It really is. There's Johnny goals, there's Cop goals, there's Government goals, there's Super Cab goals, there's Golden goals, there's Westminster Metro Town goals, there's Wonderful goals, there's Golden Into the Enemy goals, there's Open Play goals, there's Penalty goals, there's Back to the Day goals, there's Sunday Park goals, there's Off the Back of the Last goals. When all said and done, remember, a goal is a goal. God bless.